Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Jim Toronto filling in for Pete McMurray this afternoon. On the phone now, I want to go to the theater and cultural critic for the Chicago Tribune. You certainly, and you also see him, I believe, on Channel 2 doing, well, he used to do theater reviews. I think that has probably dried up a little, but welcome to the show, Chris Jones. Hello, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you so much. How are you?
Very, very good. This has got to be kind of a strange time for you, especially with the latest news of Broadway really getting ahead of many people here. And really touching upon reality, I think, and saying, look, you know, we can always say we're going to, you know, this 2 month ahead thing, and they've been doing that for a while, canceling shows or postponing shows. And just in the past week, they decided to say that we are not going to open up until January of 2021 at the earliest, and maybe not even then.
Well, it sounds, you know, the good money, if you're a betting person, I would put my money on March, more likely, March, April, because that's the time when a lot of new shows have announced that they'll be coming back.
Well, but I'm very impressed with the theater, with the Broadway theater. And I guess, is there an organization that decides that?
Well, yes, it's somebody called the Broadway League, although in reality they're a bunch of separate producers. I mean, I think part of there's many reasons why it's going to take so long. Number one is that they don't know what the market will be. They don't know if people are going to feel safe enough to come back to the theater, so there's that. Many of the big shows, your Phantom of the Opera, your Lion King, they're very dependent on tourism, and as you know, tourism to New York City is pretty much at a standstill, and especially international tourism, which, you know, is, there's travel bans at the moment. Right. So I think they figured out, really, that if they tried to come back this fall, even if they were allowed to by Governor Cuomo and by de Blasio, the mayor of New York, they would probably have found there just wasn't an audience for those shows. And they can't make money at half capacity. They just can't do it.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, coming back, I mean, when we talk about returning and reopening, you know, we're talking about sports coming back, and they're attempting that. I'm probably one of the few here. I'm a huge sports fan, but at the same time, I really don't think they're going to start any of their seasons, to be honest with you, because there are so many ancillary issues that it's not just yes. opening up the doors and playing a game. And the same thing with theater. I was supposed to go to New York to see three Broadway shows in May. And
yes.
I was going to see the Virginia Woolf production with Laurie Metcalf,
yes.
which was sadly canceled. I was going to see the new Bob Dylan musical.
Yes, very good that was, too.
Yeah, did you get, yeah, I know. I mean, I was so looking forward to these, and many
yes.
of these are either canceled for good, or who knows when they'll come back. So I certainly have some skin in the game, but at the same time, as much as I, you know, would want to see these shows and want to get back to the theater and see live shows, there are just so many, you know, the seating, like you were saying, you know, social distancing. How are the actors going to perform? Your actors are talking to each other. They're not 6 feet away. How could you have a love scene with two actors 6 feet away?
Well, I mean, the short answer to that is you can't. And,
right.
you know, and the other thing, if you follow a lot of the latest ideas on how COVID is transmitted, people are saying more and more that, let's take, for example, singing, that when you're surrounded by people singing,
right.
then, you know, the aerosols come out fast and furious. And, you know, on a Broadway stage, that's exactly what you're doing. In many cases, you have actors singing just inches away from somebody else's face. And so I think that it's all simply impossible to do. And I think probably what the Broadway people are really betting on is a vaccine. So they're hoping that by next spring, there'll be a vaccine, or at least people will have figured out some sort of testing regimen. You know, I sometimes make an analogy, if you'll forgive me, to the pornography industry, which in the middle of the HIV crisis still managed to keep going. And the way they did that, of course, was through rigorous testing. And so maybe the answer in my mind on Broadway is perhaps going to be that actors are just going to have to be tested a lot, which is, of course, what they're doing with the NBA, what they're talking about doing with college football, what they're doing, you know, with MLB. But the problem comes, of course, when somebody tests positive, and then you've got a scenario which is a nightmare for these producers, where they've paid out all the upfront money to get the show back going, and then they find themselves having to close down again, and that would be just a complete disaster for them.
Yeah, and plus,
so they're reluctant to take that risk, and yeah, I understand that.
Plus, and how many understudies could you possibly have on, you know, on the payroll as well?
Well, exactly. I mean, I think people are realizing you may have to have more, but it's still a scenario where the moment you have, you know, positive tests, at least as we now, as we perceive this disease now, the moment you have positive tests, people are not going to go to the theater to be in the same room, and people are not going to want to work. And you've got to remember that big shows on Broadway, it's not just actors. You've got stage managers, you've got the crew back there, you've got dressers. You know, dresses, it's a very intimate sort of business, you know, and if you've been, anyone who's been around those old theaters in Midtown Manhattan, there's no room.
Yeah.
You know, and it, I mean, even, for example, the bathrooms, you know, are all designed to have literally hundreds of people all go to the bathroom in 10 minutes.
Right.
And no one, you know, even that alone is a daunting thing to sort of make safe now. And so all of this, you know, as I recount all of this, of course I get depressed because I'm like, well, when I'm going to get back to work and get to see these shows. But the reality is the reality. And, you know, I think you've just got to, anyone in this business has just got to hope for a vaccine and hope that one gets out, if not in the fall, at the very beginning of next year, that it gets to people quickly. And then by next spring, you know, unless this thing has burned itself out in some way, but hopefully by next spring we can start getting back to sanity and we can get out of our houses and get to the theater, you know?
How difficult for you professionally and personally has this been?
I've found it to be a real personal shock, which may sound a bit strange, but it, you know, I've been a critic for a long time, 25 years in Tribune or thereabouts, and I pretty much have gone to the theater every night. I always made it a point of pride that, you know, people wouldn't be able to say about me, he doesn't show up for my show. So I've really tried to go, you know, almost every night, and certainly during the main spring and autumn and winter. And that has been my life. And, you know, I've got two kids who grew up, my very tolerant wife, you know, they got used to, I'd go home for dinner, be home for dinner, then I would go out around 7:30 and go to a show, and then I would be back, you know, 10:30. And that was my life pretty much every night. And it suddenly disappeared. So my wife has suddenly got me under, you know, around the house more than she wants. And my kids are like, well, here, you know, this guy's here now. And they're old enough that they're, you know, both in high school. So that's not necessarily a positive for them. But it's been a huge change. I mean, I've enjoyed my family time, but I think that, like most people, I really crave human interaction, and I crave a lot of the reason that people go to shows and to concerts. It's the fun of it, right? You go out, you maybe go out for a drink, you meet friends, you run into people in the lobby, and to have all that just gone is really, especially if this was your job, and this is, you know, not just me, it's all the people in the industry, of course, as well. A lot of people in Chicago are really hurting in the entertainment industry, in music, in comedy, in theater, because it really did just sort of overnight disappear. I remember I was in New York on the last night of Broadway, which I think was March the 11th, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, this is going to be 6 weeks. It's going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, maybe, my God, I hope it doesn't go all the way to, like, June or July.
Right.
If you had said to me that night, your next show will be in 2021, I would have said you were out of your mind.
I know. And now the fact that you're home more and you're not, you know, seeing a play and critiquing. Do you find yourself writing critiques about your wife and your kids?
Well, they think I'm in a constant state of that, but
I mean, you don't say like,
you know, I mean, normally I wouldn't be talking to you now. I'd be at a show right on a Sunday afternoon,
but
always.
But I mean, like, so you're walking around and you say like, well, these eggs, though pleasurable, also had a hint of a little burn, which ruined the entire experience for me.
Yeah, I go around giving star ratings for the cleaning of your room.
Yeah, today breakfast.
Star ratings for attitude.
Yeah, 2.5 stars. So, yeah, but
let's just say that the level of tolerance for that in my house is not very great. Yeah. But
but
there are a few virtual offerings. You know, there are. It's been fun writing about Hamilton. You know, which came out on Disney. You know, and obviously that's been a big thing. I've written a book about Hamilton called Rise Up, so I've enjoyed writing about that. And all of a sudden, people who had never seen Hamilton, which is, after all, most people, now have been able to see it. And that's really sort of made Hamilton yet more popular. So, you know, I've been able to do that, but it's not the same as a live show.
About the whole idea, too, I mean, that you're talking about the return of the theater and some of the hurdles that it has to overcome on the Broadway side. But, you know, obviously, you know, more than anyone else, you know, Chicago has a very vibrant and diverse theater community here with not only the bigger theater companies like Steppenwolf or Goodman and some of the bigger theaters themselves, you know, like the Auditorium and the Chicago Theater, but obviously a lot of storefronts and a lot of even well-established theaters that have been around for decades. We are now learning that many of them really work on a very tight margin, if there's a margin at all. And do you have any insights as to, you know, are many theaters not even going to come back? We saw that the Improv Olympics are not going to come back. And other theaters, even those smaller ones, there could be a lot of wasteland after this.
I think it's a very, very, very worrying situation taken as a whole. Like, we know right now as we sit here, IO, the Improv Theater, is closing down. There's a theater, I live in Lakeview, and there's a theater here called the Mercury Theater that's closing down.
Right, yeah.
That's a great loss. It's a beautiful venue. I think that many other theaters have laid off almost all their staff. I'm worried about Blue Man Group, which got caught up in the bankruptcy of the Cirque du Soleil, which, you know, that bankruptcy came largely because Cirque is unable to perform. They have all those big shows in Vegas that many listeners will have been to, I'm sure, and those are dark, and no, we don't know when those are coming back. And so it's created a really tough situation. And, you know, with all due respect to the authorities, to Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot, there's not been a lot of aid for the cultural industries, really. And so many of them are really struggling at this time. And I think that it's, you know, it's hard. I think when I talk to them, and I do, obviously, as part of my job, what many of them say the hardest thing is they don't know when they'll be back.
Right.
So there's no sense of when we will be back. And there's a variety of opinions. Some people think this fall, you know, we'll be at the Goodman watching A Christmas Carol. Some people think that nothing's going to happen until next spring. You know, there's a variety of opinions because there's so much unknown. And the other issue that theaters have, and probably more than restaurants, is that, you know, a restaurant can sort of close down, and if it gets to reopen, it can probably recruit, you know, bring people back and turn that around in a few days. A lot of theaters have to spend the money on the show. They spend the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars on the production, and they have to make that decision 3 to 6 months at least before the actual show. And so their problem is they don't want to tank themselves financially by laying out all that money only to see the show get canceled.
Well,
and that is very difficult.
I was surprised to see Steppenwolf, you know, announce a new season with a show in the fall.
Yeah. I mean, it's late fall, so it's, I think, it's around Thanksgiving or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So I think there is still hope. As we talk today, who knows, you know,
right,
when this changes. But as we talk today, there is still hope among the big Chicago theaters that there will be action later in the fall. And I think Goodman is hoping that. Steppenwolf is hoping that. There's a circus show downtown called Teatro Zinzani They're trying to get back in the fall. Some of the suburban theaters out in Lincolnshire and out in Oak Brook, they're trying to get back in the fall. So there's a number of people trying to get back in the fall, but they've got so many hurdles to surmount at this point. Again, as we speak right now, there's no deal with Actors Equity, the main union. So right now, you can't actually use union actors in any show. There is no show in America right now with Actors Equity actors on a stage. Now, that eventually will come. I think it'll probably come maybe in a few weeks, but it's still, you know, understandably, that union wants to protect its members. They're coming up with all these protocols, so all of which costs money, by the way. So it's all a very difficult. I wish I had like a super optimistic, it's going to be fine. Right. I don't really feel that way right now.
Talking to Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune, not only a well-known and renowned theater critic that not only you can read in the Tribune, but also see his critiques when there were shows on Channel 2, WPBM News, but also a frequent writer about our culture in general. And when we come back from the break, if you have a couple more minutes, I'd love to just ask you a quick question about how you feel about where things are culturally on the new movement of the cancel culture and the way things are moving. Because
look forward to that.
Yeah, I've got some questions of my own, and I would just love to get your take on that as well. So we'll talk to Chris Jones right after the break. Jim Toronto filling in for Pete McMurray here at WGN 720 AM. Don't forget to mask up, wash your hands, and no switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Pete McMurray this afternoon here at WGN 720 AM. On the line, I've got Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune. And what I wanted to talk about, Chris, not only does he one of the preeminent theater critics in the country, but also frequently writes about our culture in general. And one of the things that has been interesting over the last several months, certainly in the last couple of weeks, but it was a movement that was beginning to really make some noise even before anything happened with the George Floyd incident and other things like that. And now we're seeing, statues toppled and other parts of our culture being questioned. And it's a term called the cancel culture, which is basically, especially thanks to social media, a lot of people finding either parts of our culture that are either out and out inappropriate or racist or behavior by people, and at times it can be very judgmental and without any kind of discussion, and sometimes it can just be almost like ganging up on people, and we're finding there's a movement in many ways to try to get rid of parts of our culture that may, as I said, be inappropriate or be out of step, but at the same time we run the risk of erasing parts of our culture by simply saying, well, that's wrong, and get rid of that person or get rid of that person's legacy or that person's work. And I'm just wondering where you stand on where the cancel culture is right now and the dangers of it.
Complex issue, and I think that's the number one thing, and it's never served by sort of absolutist thinking on either side of the equation. You know, I do think there are some institutions and some statues and whatnot that needed to go, and I understand also the anger of people faced with some of these scenarios. I completely understand that. On the other hand, like I said, these are very difficult issues, and they're really served. I remember the mayor of New Orleans did this. I don't know if you recall this, but he did this fantastic speech about rethinking why there were Confederate statues in that city, which was kind of, for me, the blueprint for how this should be handled. It should be handled thoughtfully. There should be honest and open debate about things. I don't think hiding away things is ultimately a very good idea. I think it is much better to contextualize the past for the most part. And I think also that, you know, when it comes to sort of living people, there's the other issue going on right now, of course, is that there's a lot of attacks on existing leaders. That's true in the Chicago theater. It's been true in Hollywood. It's true all over the place. And I think, again, there are some people who needed to go. There's no question about that. On the other hand, though, we also have to realize that most of us are imperfect, and sometimes demanding atonement, which is what happens a lot now, needs to be more accompanied by, I think, an awareness of forgiveness. And I think I just think that we're in a sort of a moral panic in America at the moment, and I think ultimately we have to sort this out together, and we have to move forward together, because at the end of the day, we're all going to share, you know, the world in which we live in and the nation in which we live in. So a lot of it is about, it is about trying to get the right balance, I think, between tolerance and between the need for change, and doing it in a way that recognizes human failings.
Well, I think,
and,
I think it's,
you know,
so
right
difficult.
Now we're at both polarities screaming at each other, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
I think what's unfair about it is that it's very difficult to take people out of their time.
It is.
And
yes,
to judge them, someone who did something 200 years ago or even 50 or 60 years ago, by our prism. The goal, I would hope, in any society is that we do evolve. And that we do learn, and yes, there will have been mistakes made. The goal is hopefully that those mistakes are not repeated, but that we also, you know, to take, you can't, you know, because don't forget, in 50, 60 years from now, and believe me, over the last 4 months, the historians are going to have fun with us.
Yeah.
And if, as somebody who's around is going to hear this criticism, they're going to say, well, that's not really fair. Well, wait a minute, you know. You were ready to topple the statue of George Washington because he owned slaves, or take John Wayne's name off of an airport. And I'm not condoning what John Wayne said, but my point is to either look at somebody out of their time, especially someone who's passed away who can't defend themselves. It seems like we're looking to erase our history. The only way we're going to learn and evolve and change is to confront our history and make sure we don't repeat it again. But if we erase it, then we have nothing to compare it to.
Well, I think that's right. I think it's very important that people are able to mount a defense if they so choose. I mean, that's what bothered me about, you know, The Last Dance, the Bulls documentary, is Jerry Krause is not there to, he was the villain of the piece and not there to defend himself. And I think that's a very valid point when people are dead. I think we have to separate two things. I think there are people who, even in the context of their times, were terrible people, and that some of them have not been recognized as such. And they got to go. And we've got to say, as a society, we don't want statues of these people up in our cities for young people to see and to wonder why they're there. So that's one group of people. But then there's a whole other, probably larger group of people who were indeed in the context of their times. And you know, who knows what any of us would have done had we been born at a different moment. And so what we have to do there is we have to examine them in that context, in that understanding. And there are some people who, even in a sort of repressive society or in that kind of context, who nonetheless made things a bit better. There are some people who, you might not know it, but actually were reformers, say. And you don't want those honorable people who were courageous in their time and in the context of their time to get swept away with everybody else.
Yeah,
and I think that's it's complex, and it takes time, and it has to be done in such a way that everybody is brought along. Nothing is achieved unless all Americans are being brought along together to the extent you can. Some people you cannot bring along. I recognize that. But still, that's got to be the aim in a democracy, to bring everybody along as far as you can.
Well, I want to thank Chris Jones for taking time on a holiday weekend to chat and to sharing some of your views. And we will hopefully read your critiques when the theater comes back.
I hope so. Let's hope so. And let's hope it's not too long. And, you know, and they'll need your support when they come back. So it's a good thing.
Okay, take care. Stay safe. Wear a
bye-bye
mask.
Bye-bye now. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.